Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Dits, you've encountered many things in the world of squash, and you've travelled the world and come up against some really tough opponents. But you're the patron of Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they've got a great new challenge out there at the moment, a ripping is a good word, a ripping new fundraiser for June. They are challenging men out there to do some waxing and to raise some money. And you can do this by going for waxforawish.org.au. That is waxforawish.org.au. And because you're a patron, you are going to set the example for South Australian men out there about how they can go about it. Righto. We've got Christy here from Emporium.
Please come in, Christy.
Beauty at Glenelg. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Dits hasn't had anything waxed before, so we thought we'd just start off with a spot which is not too bad. A good little introduction, and he's going to do his chest today because we're going to Darwin on holidays next week.
Why are you laughing, Christy?
Oh, it's just entertaining. And you've got quite the audience out here waiting to watch as well.
Tell me about the chest. As you know, the pain barrier goes. What scale? On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate the chest?
I would choose other areas to do over the chest.
Thanks, righto. All right.
It's not going to be
not too late to change.
Yes, it is. I've already said it's on the whiteboard.
It's good. The bit around your nipples will be nice, Dits. I think that should
Thank
be
you.
So. And think about what we're going to look like when we're in Darwin. You're going to be all nice and smooth around the pool. You're going
to
be walking around.
And then you
can
come in next week before you go to Darwin and have a spray tan.
No. Christy, why do you do a job? Tell me about, what is it, Emporium
Beauty?
Yes.
Down at Glenelg?
Yes.
Why? When you grew up, you thought, I just want to rip people's hair out. Is that what you thought as a job?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah,
what is wrong with you?
There's a couple of screws loose, I think. It's mainly the men that I enjoy it so much.
How about we stop delaying the inevitable?
Yeah,
get your shirt off, Dits. Let's have a look at your chest, which we're going to wax.
Sorry.
And you have been training hard lately. He's in good nick.
Sorry.
And he has got a few hairs. It's not the hairiest chest going around, but it's got enough fluff there that is going to cause a little bit of pain. The old Bill Shorten man boobs are going to be getting stretched out a little bit here.
Righto. So I'm laying back down on the ground.
Yeah, we've got the hot wax about to be put on.
What's that you're rubbing on me now?
This is just
breast massage at the moment, Dits here, just laying back.
Fair set of boobs, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's
Right, what are we putting on now?
Now we're going with the powder.
Powder. What does that do?
The powder's going to stop the wax from sticking to your skin.
Oh, terrific.
And take some of the oils out of you.
You're not going to rip skin off. I just want hair off.
No, there'll be no skin.
Christy, we did it to a mate on a houseboat on New Year's Day once just to keep us amused, and surprise how much blood actually comes out.
Oh, don't say that.
No, it does, Dits.
Knock it off.
Well, it's true. Blokes, if you can get the back or the chest done, it can cause a little bit of bleeding, so.
I am actually now shaking. I don't mind telling you. What are you doing now?
Okay, now I'm going to put the wax on.
Righto.
And it's very hot, isn't it?
No.
Bloody hell.
It's not.
That
it's
is.
Nice and therapeutic.
Therapeutic. Now, what sort of wax is it? Is this like what would come out of a candle or something? Or
no.
What is it?
It's a special wax that's designed to pull your hair off, and are you ready?
Yep.
One, two, three.
Oh, come on.
You are going to look gorgeous.
Got a lot of hair there.
Right, and now we're getting there.
Get on his neck.
Oh, gee whiz.
Get right around his nipples
now.
Have
you finished
yet? Thanks. You've only just started, Dits, here, and one little part of your pectoral muscle there that's just getting done. Get right around his nipples.
Oh,
thank you.
Shut up.
I want maximum pain for Dits here,
please.
Look at that hot bit of wax around. That looks a wreck, that nipple, Dits.
Oh,
he's getting turned on. He's getting excited. The nipple's a little bit pointy. He's loving it.
Oh, mate.
Christy. Back a little bit more on there, Christy.
So women come in to see you every day to do their bikinis and all those sorts of things.
Sure.
So you spend your days looking at that.
Pretty
what
much.
Sort of job's that?
It's different, that's for sure.
Oh, you got stuck. Oh. Are you a beginner?
Now, if you want to have a look at this will be on the Triple M Facebook page as well. If you want to raise some money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, go for waxforawish.org.au. That is waxforawish.org.au to raise some money for Make-A-Wish. Thanks, Christy, from Emporium
Beauty. Good on you, Christy.
You're welcome.
Good work, Dits.
Triple M now kicks off your workday with the 104-minute music marathon. It's the most music to start your day, which means a bigger variety. From Bowie to Bernard,
I just wanna wish you well.
Chisel to Chili Peppers,
standing in line.
Jimmy to Jack,
Foxy Lady.
I really wanna make you mine.
And everything in between.
This is Angus Young on Triple M.
Hi, this is Stu.
Triple M's 104-minute music marathon after Roo and Dits at 9. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, a spate of mental health issues, I think it's fair to say, in the world of AFL. Now, it's everywhere, so it's not unique to AFL, but we know that young AFL footballers are under immense pressure. Some will argue, but they get very well paid. However, it doesn't stop...
That doesn't stop depression.
No.
It doesn't stop
anxiety.
Mental health
That's
issues.
Right. And as we know, Wayne Schwoss, former AFL player, Triple M commentator, has been a wonderful advocate for mental health, and he speaks a lot about the issues.
Been through it himself, or battles it himself.
So, in recent weeks, Alex Vassolo, the Collingwood player.
Yep.
We've had Travis Cloke, Western Bulldogs, and now another one.
Yeah, Tom Boyd, who was the former number one draft pick, so a lot of pressure comes with that. He went to GWS for a couple of years, and then Western Bulldogs made a six-year, $6 million offer, probably the biggest at it in its time for a player that had only played nine games and I think had kicked 10 goals or something. Hasn't set the world on fire since he's been at the Bulldogs, played a cracking game in last year's grand final, and some people say paid his own way after that. But only this week, and they play the Crows this week, he's come out and he's taking some leave to deal with mental illness. So,
all right, let's talk to Wayne Schwoss. Good morning, Schwatter.
Hello, boys. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think about players coming out and admitting they're dealing...
Going public on it
at the moment?
I think we're at a stage now where players are starting to understand, and there's a significant shift from my point of view with regards to the cultural attitudes towards mental health. I think if you had said to me at the beginning of this year that we'd have three high-profile players within the space of 5 weeks would come out and talk openly about their challenges with mental health, I would have said, geez, I hope we get to that stage, but I didn't believe that we were at that stage. We are now, and I think that's... It's never good. These are really terrible, really challenging illnesses that these boys are dealing with. So I don't want to come out the wrong way. Whilst these issues are really terrible and challenging to deal with, I think that this is a fantastic place that we're now at within the game of AFL. Players are putting their mental health first. Players are actually putting their hand up and reaching out for help, which I think is really important. Sends a great message to the broader community that you can and you should do those things.
What about the people out there that are the doubters with mental health issue or depression? What about people out there that say, well, you know, they come out and say Alex Vassolo, for instance, comes out and says he's battling depression and then he's at training within 3 or 4 days and continuing to play. What would you say to people out there that talk about those scenarios in a negative way?
Well, I think some of that would be the fact that people aren't perhaps as educated as well as they could be, Roo. To use a personal example, I was diagnosed, and a day later after being diagnosed in 1993, I was training. I never missed a training session, nor did I miss a game. Just because you get diagnosed and you might admit publicly that you're living with these conditions doesn't mean that life stops. A really important part of someone's strategy getting back to health is actually maintaining as much routine as they possibly can. So whilst not playing and continuing to train, I think is a really important piece of that recovery strategy. So I would support that. In Alex's case, he was able to come back a week later. I think that, and I haven't spoken to Alex, I've spoken to people close to Alex. I think the fact that once you go public, the story's out. It can't go anywhere. And I think that takes a significant amount of pressure off the shoulders of these young boys. The other thing that I would like to say is these players get paid a lot of money. And we need to put that to the side, because all money gives us is the more we've got, the more choices we've got. The less we've got, the less choices we have. Money doesn't mean that these boys are naturally happy. It buys you material possessions. But this is a really competitive, challenging, uncompromising industry. And at the end of the day, we're asking 22-year-old boys to behave like they're 35-year-old men. It's unrealistic.
What role has social media got in this? I'm starting to get a bit... anti-social media and the effect it's having on it. And this is not just an AFL chat. We're having a chat because these guys are getting highlighted. But it's more, I want you on to talk about the society and what's happening. Social media, and you can't tell everyone to get off, I know that, but you can't tell me that this is not one of the biggest reasons why mental health is a huge issue in society, Swatter.
I agree with you, Rude. I think that this is a significant contributing factor that may cause young men and women in elite sporting environments stress. I can't absolutely categorically say 100% that's the case.
If it's not that, what is it in society? Why is there such a huge issue in society? Apart from social media, what is it that's causing it?
That's such a tough question to answer, Ru, because it could be anything. It could be the product of somebody's environment. A relationship may have failed, financial issues. Yep.
But that's been happening forever, hasn't it? That sort of stuff.
I think it's an issue that I think the industry and the community are trying to grapple with, Ru. You've got kids and so do I. I've got twin girls. They're turning 14 shortly. Their primary relationships at the end of a screen, at the end of their hand.
Yeah,
so
that's my point.
To these young men, don't be on social media. I think that's unrealistic. What I'd like to see us do as an industry, and perhaps as a broader community, but certainly within the AFL, we need to invest considerable time and effort and money into educating the players about how to manage it, how to disconnect from it, so to speak. If I'm not playing well, the last place I'd be going
exactly. Is
the marketplace of social media looking for some positive reaffirmation. Good point.
Good on you, Swatter. Thanks for joining us,
mate.
Boys. Well done.
Good stuff.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, it's a big, big day today, Roo. How are you this morning?
Very good, thanks, Dits.
Yeah, there's so much happening around the world. There's so much news. Some real positive stories for South Australia we'll touch on today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm absolutely stoked. It's about Whyalla in the headlines for the right reasons.
And I think you've got another rumour for us.
I have got a little positive rumour.
Part of a positive announcement to make.
Yeah, I think so. All right. So we'll delve into that later.
Look forward to that.
Bit of interesting stuff around about tennis and Jackson Trengove's going to join us as well, and Jakey King and Ty Vickery are in the news for wrong reasons. So
I see they got arrested. Ty Vickery, is he arrested for impersonating a ruckman?
Oh, there was a bit of banter going around yesterday that perhaps he should be charged with extortion for getting a 2-year, $1 million contract out of Hawthorn.
That's called extortion.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
We got Gleeso Suburban Song later on today, being a Thursday.
So I'm not sure,
but we'll find out who he's picking
on. Haven't we picked on?
A little bit later
on. I should say.
Yeah, Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M, all thanks to Adelaide Tools. 6:09, Ruined Dits for Breakfast on this Thursday morning. At the moment, it's 8 degrees outside and a little bit cloudy. Roo, making news locally and around the world. Ali Fahua, I don't know if he fell on his sword or he was pushed, but he is out of there.
Well, I think he decided to walk. He got 14 weeks at the tribunal last night, and what the AFL generally do is go through to the tribunal, let that happen, and then Ali Fahua decided after that. You get banned for life when you get that sort of suspension now, because there's a threshold, I think, over a certain time, or even your career. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but if you do get suspended for over a certain amount of games, you're banned for life, and that's where he is now after having some misdemeanors, and he decided that it wasn't appropriate for him to continue in his role as the AFL diversity officer. So you know, if that's the way he feels, I think it's a good call, and I think there's plenty of people out there that think he shouldn't be in that position either. So,
on the basis of the seriousness of the charge and the tribunal's sanction, I'll be standing down from my position at the AFL. In this time, I'll seek professional help for my behaviour. I've played this game for 29 years. It has given me everything. I have loved working for the AFL and running programs that have reached out to communities far and wide. AFL is the greatest game, and I'm forever grateful for the role it has played in my life.
Well, I can only hope he learns and he moves on and yep. improves as an individual.
Yep.
Hey, Malcolm Turnbull, our Prime Minister, was interviewed yesterday. And as you know, Tony Abbott he's on a mission. He's been a pain in the ass. He's been a wart on the backside of Malcolm Turnbull. And he's doing his best on a daily basis, I think, to undermine the Liberal government. Yesterday, Malcolm Turnbull was asked about it.
I want to ask you about Tony Abbott. He spoke at a Liberal branch meeting. Audio has been leaked to Fairfax. Mr. Abbott described your budget as second best, and a party that has to do what's second best because the Senate made us do it is a party which needs some help. Is Tony Abbott being helpful?
Well, I'm not going to comment on the gentleman you described, referred to, but let me just say this about the budget.
Will Tony Abbott ever feature in a Turnbull cabinet?
Look, again, I know your interest in the gentleman you describe, but I'm not...
You keep using that phrase.
Listen, you, look, please.
Gentleman...
Well, look, well, you... This is your interest. My focus is on the 24 million Australians I'm elected to represent.
Good answer. Pretty hard to remember his name at times, that gentleman.
That story and that Will Nathan Buckley coach next year story is new... Nearly daily news now.
It is.
Well, I think we need a new segment. What's the update? What sort of different question have they asked and how have they been annoying with Tony Abbott? Mm.
What's North Korea up to, Ruth?
Well, they've apparently developed a new missile, Ditz, that now has the capability to not only hit Darwin, like to hit Australia, but it could actually go a bit further than that. They're talking about it, the fact it's got a minimum range of 5,500 kilometres.
Was Harndorf mentioned?
Harndorf might have got a call. and it could go up to 8,000, so it could even hit Hawaii and places like that. They tested one the other day. They shot it 2,000 k's up in the air. That is a bloody long way when you think about how high that is and how big that is.
Yep.
Although they're saying the threat to Australia is low, they do finally have some capability, and I think the world knows about it.
Donald Trump's come out overnight, and he's urged China to flex a bit of muscle in that region as well. But
they haven't done that.
They haven't. And it's, stuff is getting nasty, I reckon.
Well, it is. I think the project guys, Wale, said it was the most distressing story they'd done on the show for a long time.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big call because they cover some interesting things. But
they do.
Hopefully, we don't annoy them enough, or, you know, America doesn't annoy them enough and they decide to hit Darwin because we've got the US base up there.
All right, that's what's making news. Hey, Roo, in a moment, a bit of the aftermath of the Bernard Tomic Nick Kyrgios situation. Roger Federer, who I respect and admire greatly, has come up with a plan. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Keep Triple M on when you get to work with the 104-minute music marathon. Now with even bigger variety. From Neil Young to Nirvana. Bowie to Bono. Pink Floyd to Pearl Jam. And everything in between.
Hey, this is Kings of Leon.
This is Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil.
The 104-minute music marathon. After Ruined Dits at 9 on 104.7 Triple M.
6:21, thanks to Adelaide Tools here on Triple M. Roo, the aftermath of Bernard Tomic, Nick Kyrgios. So many of the international tennis stars and former players have had their say on this.
On Tomic?
Yep.
Yeah, well, they should have too, because it was absolutely unbelievable what he did, really.
All right, man I admire greatly, Roger Federer. Let's have a listen to the Fed Express.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel for the crowd because, you know, they're there to watch good tennis, proper tennis. At least they did see the two of us who gave it all they had. They saw other players. They tried at least. And they put in another match right now in center court, I believe. So, it's unfortunate that it happened today like this.
So Roger's come up with an idea going on from that in the same press conference where the first round losers at Wimbledon get $65,000.
For rocking up.
Not to be sneezed at.
Getting out there and doing their best.
Yeah, not to be sneezed at.
Supposed to be doing their best.
What Roger, he wants to bring in a rule. He went on to say in that press conference where if you're injured, right, just put your hand up and say, I'm injured, don't play, and you'll still get your $65,000. Because he feels that the crowd is being robbed. What happened was eight players walked off during matches. Kyrgios walked off at 2 sets to love down. It happened in 2 matches in a row on centre court. So people, and some had paid thousands of dollars, he said, and they do. Mm-hmm. Some people go to Wimbledon as a once-in-a-lifetime thing you'll do.
Yep.
And they're sitting there, and 2 matches in a row, you're a set in or something, and the players walk off. So Roger is saying, let's avoid the disappointment for the crowd. We'll bring in a substitute player, someone who's next on the ranking list, comes in. But the bloke that puts his hand up, or the lady,
so the other player doesn't go through.
No, no, no. There's still a match because it's about having a match for the crowd. This is Roger's idea. My idea, Roo, is you don't get paid. You don't play. And if you walk off, if you're Kyrgios and you walk off at 2 sets to love down, even legitimately injured, I'm sorry.
Just for the first round.
Have a
If you get to the second round, unless you've proven that you were fit, so you got a legitimate injury probably, but
I guess the first round
people could rock up and just...
Well, 8 players did it. Now, that's too many, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they're lower-ranked players and they think, gee, I need the 65 grand. That wouldn't be bad.
Just got to get out there.
Yeah.
Just got to hang on for a
Get through the warm-up. I know I've torn my hamstring, but get through the warm-up, play a few games, make it look good, call for the doctor and go, oh, I've just done my hamstring. I think let's have a blanket rule to wipe out what Kyrgios did and what all these other players are doing.
How would, I suppose, you can't continually fake injuries, so you'd get exposed if you did that. If you're a struggling player and you got the first round and you got beaten, well, you're still going to get paid. So I agree with you for the first round, but after that you'd need to pay him.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. And then in the case of Tomic, he should have to front the equivalent of a tribunal. A player's body, where he walks in, they say...
Bring the game into disrepute.
You've admitted not trying, firstly. Secondly, you've admitted feigning an injury. Sorry, mate, but you don't get your money.
No, absolutely they should.
You get paid zero. So he still gets his 65 grand for what he dished up. And I think you should have to... Yeah, sorry, mate, you don't get paid.
Mm. Yep, I agree with you, Dits, on that one. I think if it is if it's a bigger issue than just this tournament, if it's happening regularly in big tournament, I mean, there's a lot of gambling, whether you like gambling or not now, it's actually huge in sport, and it affects things like that as well.
Yeah.
So they've got to have, credibility in the game. So I agree with you.
And just on that, I did back Kyrgios. So you've touched a nerve now.
Well, get some money on Tomic being broke in about 20 years.
Yeah, you think so.
Go all up on that.
I can't wait 20 years to get paid out.
No, good point. But, good to see that he's doing the right rehab too, Kyrgios, like a real professional player.
Yeah.
When you get injured, a soft tissue injury, should ice up for 48 hours and rest and make it recover, limit the blood flow to the injured site so that, you know, there's no swelling and you recover quick for the next tournament. It's good that he's doing that.
Well, what his doctor said was go to a nightclub till 3 a.m.
Yeah,
and if you don't feel any better...
Get on the sauce.
Come back and see me.
Swell it up. Run around. Bring as much attention to the injured side as possible.
I see he had a dart in his hand as well.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was lighting up.
Yeah, right.
That's good.
Hey, it's a very stressful sport.
Yeah, yeah.
They need their downtime. That's work-life balance.
That's right.
I've got it all wrong.
Yeah, he spent the 65 on his first
night. And I've
never
had a drink when I've been injured, so.
Can we get the lie detector machine out again? 6:25 it is. Ruined it for breakfast.
Dave Gleeson here from the Screaming Jets, and I'm giving your suburb a brand new anthem with Triple M's Suburban Songs.
The only thing that helps you pass the time away is knowing I'll be nude at Maslin Beach someday.
We're taking crazy stuff about your suburb and we put it into your favourite Triple M songs. This week, Tea Tree Gully. Hear all the songs at triplem.com.au and get a brand new one every Thursday at 8:30. Thanks to Suburban Taxis. Rock 'em whatever suburb you need to get to. 131 008 Triple M.
104.7 Triple M. Ah! Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
Hey, good news for Port Adelaide, Roo. Tom Cleary has signed on, extended his contract, and I really, really like this fella. He's playing great footy.
I've always been happy here since I moved over. And now this year that I've got a little bit of a look in and I've held my spot so far, I just want to hold my spot and lock that down in the back six and hopefully have that for a number of years.
He's really stepped up, and I think that's why they were happy for Alapati Carlisle to retire last year, because they could see that Tom Cleary was coming through, and him with Homsch and Jonas and Jackson Trengo, who's coming in later. They've got plenty of depth. the boy with a knee that kicked out, Dougal Howard, who can play back. They've got a they've got plenty of talent back there. So good to see Tom Cleary. Jack Holmes looks like he'll be over his knee problem, and he'll be back for the game against West Coast. That's a massive game, another 8-point game for those boys. Hamish Hartlett failed to train yesterday with his corky, a really bad corky that he got on the weekend. So we'll wait and see if he comes up. Adelaide are set to make at least a couple of changes for their clash tomorrow night against the Bulldogs at Adelaide Oval. We know Hardigan's out, and Otten will probably come in for him. Charlie Cameron looks set to return as well. We know that Tom Lynch is unavailable with viral meningitis, so there'll be a couple of changes there. And SA's Tanasi Kokkinakis and Jordan Thompson won through in the doubles, Dits. Good on those boys after he got knocked out in the singles.
Yeah, that's our look at sport. In a moment, the WAG gave us a... She always gives us plenty of fodder. She gave us another wonderful story yesterday about cooking mishaps. So we're going to get into this in just a moment.
104.7 Triple M.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on this Thursday morning at 6.36. Thanks to Adelaide Tools. Rue, the WAG, shared a story with us yesterday. She likes to do something special for the McGarry medalists.
Get the slow cooker going in the middle of the week when it's a bit cold. Winter. And you feel like just sitting in and having a beautiful meal, home-cooked meal.
The two-time McGarry medalist. So,
nice tender meat.
Alice the WAG, what did you attempt to cook?
I was cooking a beef, slow-cooked beef stew full of veggies and deliciousness.
What else did it have in it?
Well, after about 4 hours, I looked in it and realised that the meat pad from the bottom, the thing that absorbs all the blood, had gone.
So that was cooking away.
Yeah, for
now,
4 hours.
I don't know. Are they toxic? What are they? What are they filled with? Those pads. What are they got in them?
Part of me wants it to be at the moment, just for this story. And obviously, we don't want to poison Joel.
So you went ahead and ate the stew.
Well, I googled it first and texted Joel, and I was like, "You'll never guess what I've done."
Mm.
And he was like, "Of course you have."
Mm.
But it says they're not toxic, but if it has like broken in the slow cooker, so there's like stuff everywhere, then you don't eat that.
Well, but so it was sealed. Didn't burst open.
No, really? Even though I stabbed the meat to get the juices in, so I probably did stab it, but it didn't look open. So I just thought, nah, it's going to be okay.
But right now, this morning, you know, he could be at home with like acid eating away his guts. He could be in agony, doubled over.
Do you think?
Might be.
When you get a piece of meat, don't you? I'll ask you. Right. When you get a piece of meat out of a bit of a Cryovac, surely you turn it over and have a look at it, don't you?
What do you do?
No,
you,
see, I don't like touching meat. I never touch meat.
So what? It's minimal.
So like, it was in a sealed plastic.
Why don't you touch it? What's wrong with touching meat?
It's just so gross and slimy and just like revolting. So I just opened the sealed thing and like just poured it in. So I didn't have to touch it.
Mm. Right.
So it didn't even touch my bench. No, it's just like smells bad. You don't want to touch it, but you're able to eat it. It's all bloody. I can eat it if it's cooked, but raw meat creeps me out a bit. It's like flesh, did you know?
All right. So the meal ended up all right. Didn't affect the taste.
It was so good.
Really?
It was so delicious. So, oh well.
Rue, one night we had some people over for a dinner party and the wife has cooked up the big pasta and she'd sliced through one of her fingers with a knife.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it bled like buggery. Anyway, so she put this Band-Aid on it and we were sitting tucking into this pasta and she looked down and she said to me, "Oh, no." I said, "What?" She said, "The Band-Aid's come off."
Band-Aid's gone.
And so someone around the table... Is
oh no,
yeah. The Band-Aid's in the big pasta thing of pasta sauce.
Stirring the pot, and the Band-Aid slipped off. Yeah. A bit of juice.
No. Yeah, and we didn't. I didn't have the heart to sort of stop and say, "Everyone, just look through your food and find the Band-Aid." So we just plowed on. But that wasn't good.
Who got it?
I don't know. No one ever complained, but someone's chewed through. A nice piece of Band-Aid with blood all over it as well.
Oh, well, that would be a little bit crunchy. I tried to do the right thing, like you, WAG. Tried to cook a nice meal for the family about a couple of months ago. And I had some lamb racks that I'd had in the freezer for a while, but they're really good quality racks. And we had, you know, those blackouts we had over Christmas. I wouldn't throw them out. I refused to throw them out because I thought, it hadn't thawed out. And, you know, no one had opened the freezer and, you know, they'll be right. They were cold enough. So anyway, under the Cryovac and because I can't smell anything, you basically have to wipe poo under my nose to smell it. I just can't smell it.
Do that.
And so I defrosted it and put it out and put her in the oven and chopped up all the veggies and did the rosemary thing and the oil and had it all going and got the wine out. And Sarah had come in and I'd been going, you know, preparing tea for at least an hour, probably a couple of hours. They've walked in and she's gone, "Poor, what stinks in here?" And I've gone, "What? I can't, I could not smell a bloody single thing." And she goes, "Oh, that meat's off." And she's always into me about things that I can eat anything. It doesn't worry because I can't smell it.
So it had been in the freezer, but it was off.
You know when we had the blackouts and stuff over New Year's, and there was a time, and I wouldn't throw it at them too much. And she reckons it was off anyway. So we've had a massive blow over it. And
I wouldn't know what off meat smells like. So she could smell straight away.
I cut it up and it was beautiful and tender and I just couldn't throw it out. I just refused. I thought I've tried to do the right thing. We've had a massive blow over it. I said, "Well, you know, go and F and cook your own day." All this sort of stuff. So I ate it. And
were you crook?
I ended up with a bit of a crook gut the next morning. I had some pains in my belly and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, anyway, that was my cooking disaster.
Yeah. Women are always right is the moral of that story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Women that can smell.
Yeah. 133353, can you top that? The wag cooking the pad that sits under the meat. What have you done? 133353.
It's Italian Band-Aid pasta.
Yes. 133353. What we've got is we've got tickets to the footy.
Yeah, let's go to the Crows and the Premiers tomorrow night at Adelaide Oval. Might be a bit wet, but it's going to be a big game, this one.
Give us a ring, 133353. 6:45, your cooking disasters.
Be plenty out there. Let's go to Cockatoo Valley. Sounds like a good place to have a cooking disaster. How you going, Linton?
Hey, how you going?
What's your cooking disaster?
Well, we were overseas with a group of other families, and we were celebrating grand final, one of the grand final luncheons. So we cooked ourselves up some hot dogs.
Yep.
And we cooked them up. I made my first hot dog and started eating. I thought it was a bit tough. But then one of the other guys who went there and did it, he opened up the hot dog and he looked at it and he goes, "Oh, this has got a plastic wrapper on it."
Oh.
And then they looked at me as I was just taking my last bite.
No, so you'd little smile bit chewy. The whole thing. Let's go to Aldinga. G'day, Mark. G'day, Mark.
Hey, how you going, Ruth?
Good. What's your cooking disaster?
Yeah, last Mother's Day, we just finished lunch and we were sitting down to have some cake that the mother-in-law had made, and my little girl said, "Something stuck in my teeth." And I said, "Oh, I can't get something in her teeth from cake." But anyway, I've had a look, and she's got a piece of wire stuck in her tooth. The mother-in-law had made the cake, and while she was making it, the bloody mixer had, the whisk on the mixer had broken, and a piece of wire had come off
wow.
it.
Wow, gee.
Was just lucky that, it got stuck between her teeth, and she didn't swallow it.
Dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, well, The thing was, she reckons the piece of cake was for me, not for my daughter.
Of course.
The old son-in-law was trying to get to...
No, all ended well, Mark. Good on you. More calls in just a moment on 133353.
Triple M Breakfast with Mark Rusciuto and Chris Tittmar. Triple M now kicks off your workday with the 104-minute music marathon. It's the most music to start your day, which means a bigger variety. From Bowie to Bernard.
I just want to wish you well.
Chisel to Chili Peppers.
Standing in line.
Jimmy to Jet.
Foxy lady.
I really want to make you mine.
And everything in between.
This is Angus Young on Triple M.
Hi, this is Stu.
Triple M's 104-minute music marathon after Ruin Dits at 9. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, we love these cooking disasters, Ruth. This is after Wag cooked a slow cooker stew.
Tried to do the right thing.
And the pad that sits under the meat in the package, she put that in with it and cooked that for a few hours as well. Came out well done.
Let's go to Tea Tree Gully. G'day, Jake.
G'day, boys. How are you?
What have you cooked, mate?
Well, not technically me, but I was babysitting my kids and my cousin's kids while they were out fishing. And one of the boys lost his first teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in a plastic bowl. My cousins come back and my wife. I went out fishing. I come back and my cousin said, "Where's Zach's teeth?" I said, "It's in the plastic bowl." "Oh, you clown." I said, "What's going on?" "I've cooked noodles, put it in that bowl, and the tooth's gone."
Oh, so it wasn't the tooth fairy.
No. So I said, "Well, you're going to have to... start looking through all the brown sharks to see which one's got a tooth.
Well done.
Crispy noodles. Let's go to Seton. G'day, Joe.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. What's your food stuff?
I went to a family function, and because I'm gluten-free, they went to special effort for me, so the meal was nice and everything. And she said, I've made you sweets. And I said, oh, that's fine. And every time you have gluten-free sweets, they're not that nice anyway. And I was eating my sweets, and I thought, that's the best cake I've ever had. And everyone else is having a bit of a wind, saying, oh, the cake's a bit dry, you know, it's a bit flat. And she'd made everyone else gluten-free and mine not.
Oh, gee.
So can you imagine what happened in the next 10 minutes, don't you?
Yeah, you would have copped it, Joe.
Both ends.
Let's go to Hawthorne, Dean. G'day, Brandon.
G'day, boys.
What's happened with you with food?
Well, it wasn't with me. My fiance's father was cooking stag bowl. And, you know, the big tubs of table salt that you normally use for like filling up like a normal shaker. The lid came off that, and about 500 grams of salt went straight in the bag bowl. So just kept stirring it in, hoping no one noticed.
Yeah, I think you might have noticed that one.
I reckon.
It's a white container with the red lid.
Let's go to Gavin at Parry Hills. G'day, Gavin.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Gav. Good.
It was my first attempt at a slow cooker meal. I had it all prepped and put it in the what I thought was a slow cooker. And come back a couple of hours later and worked out it was an electric fry pan and burnt it to a crisp.
How did you get that mixed up?
I described it to my now wife. I said, you know, it looks the slow cooker looks like this. She goes, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, no worries. So I chucked it all in there and, no good.
Hey, at least you had a crack, Gav. At least you had a crack.
Yeah, well done, Gav.
Yeah, stay out of the kitchen now. Let's go to Houghton. G'day, Ronnie.
Yeah, good morning, Roo.
What's happened with you, mate?
Well, mine's not really a cooking disaster, but I just heard it on the radio saying that your wife lost a Band-Aid in the cooking. But me and my brother used to be butchers years ago down in the southeast, and we were making sausages one day, and then about halfway through the day, my brother says to me, hey, I've lost my wedding ring. And the wedding ring's gone through the mincer and turned into sausages.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
No. You'd be hard to explain. You'd be married for a week. So.
Two cracking sausages. That would have been no good.
Thanks, Ronnie, for your call.
I'd hate to think what happens in some kitchens, you know, that you don't see, that you wouldn't want to know.
Don't worry about rings going into sausages. Back in the old days, I think everything went into sausages. Who are you going to give the tickets to there, Dits? And Gavin want to go to the footy?
Yeah, Gavin from Parra Hills.
Yeah, Gav.
Good on you, Gav.
You're off to see the Crows and the Premiers, the Western Bulldogs, tomorrow night at Adelaide Oval. It's going to be a big crowd there, and it's a massive game for both clubs. Bulldogs and trying to stay in the finals.
You'll hear it right here as Triple M rocks footy.
Exactly
Roo, still a big morning coming up here on Triple M.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Wayne Swass coming on. We've got Jackson Trengove coming on. We've got a big rumour to drop later on at 8 o'clock as well. Andrew Rule's going to join us to talk about Jake King and the extortion arrest that happened
yesterday. This is an amazing story.
Yeah, unusual for AFL. Gee, they've had a bad couple of weeks, the AFL. Yeah. But coming up next is the pressure test where you can win $500 cash.
Behave Yourself continues Tuesday night on 7. 104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Pressure point!
Ruined it. Pressure test. Righto, time to give away $500, Roo.
Yep, let's go to Balhanna. G'day, Michael.
G'day,
Roo.
How are you?
Yeah, good, Michael. What are you up to today, mate?
Work, actually.
Oh, you're out.
Righto. Yeah.
Come on, you've got to be more detailed.
Sorry,
ladies
Michael.
And gentlemen. If you say you just got work on, you're going to be
Dumped.
Because righto. You need to explain what you're doing so we don't have to ask you a secondary question and waste everyone's time.
Christy at Windvale. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
How are we? Thanks. What are you up to today, Christy?
Well, I'm on my way to a place where every week I make thousands of people very happy when they check their bank account.
Oh, what do you do, Christy?
I'm a payroll officer.
Payroll officer.
Fantastic.
For
well
a big
done.
Company.
Drake Supermarket.
Oh, very big company.
Roger Drake and all
How
the people
How many employees has the Drake company got these days?
probably got about almost 5,000 on the books. So
she.
A lot of staff. Yeah.
Turned over $1 billion a year for the first time a couple of years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Big success story here in South Australia.
We love Foodland.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And we do. Roger Drake and Ivan Eckerman's down there and
Big Ive.
All those guys, they're all lovely.
Big Ive. Yeah.
All right, Christy. Well, before you get the sack for talking to us, let's try and make you $500.
Please, let's do it.
All right. You're going to get 10 correct answers in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give me 10 past or present male tennis players.
Roger Federer, Pat Cash, Philip Huster, Kyrgios, Tomic. Was there an Ivan something or other?
Yes.
Lendl.
Lendl,
yes. Ivan Lendl, that's it.
What about Leighton?
Oh, yeah, Leighton Hewitt. who was that hottie American?
John McEnroe.
Oh, yeah, him.
Who was your hot American?
One,
two, three, four, five, six, seven. Correct. Oh, seven. Are you thinking Andy Roddick?
Is that who you were talking about, the hottie?
Oh, yes, that's the one.
We got there.
Good on you, Christy. Well, $70, Christy. Well done.
Oh, that's not bad. Excellent. Thank you so much. Right.
Well done. She's good a happy, happy lady.
Yeah, she's a happy lady.
And sounds like she loves her job down there at Drake's.
Yeah, exactly right. Sorry, Michael from Balhanna, but you just got to play the game.
It's harsh. It's a harsh rule, but... Yep. Regular listeners know what it's all about.
That's right. We love our regulars.
Yeah. Hey, Rue, in a moment, I can't believe this story. In this day and age, this is a real modern-day sort of movie that you'd see, really. Two AFL players are caught up in an extortion racket.
Well, they've been charged.
They have. We're talking $100,000 here. Ty Vickery and the push-up king, Jake King. We're going to find out more with Andrew Rule, who we go to regularly with our real underworld stuff out of Melbourne. We'll do that next.
Triple M. Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
7:07 here on a Thursday morning, Roo. This story that broke yesterday out of Melbourne, when I saw the headline come through on my phone, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, exactly right. We know that Jake King and Ty Vickery have been arrested for extortion and threatening to kill and a few other charges.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's nothing that it's something that you don't expect to see in the world of AFL.
Two modern-day AFL players.
Yes, exactly right. So we thought we'd go to the man who knows the underworld. He knows crime in Victoria and across Australia. His name's Andrew Rule, and he joins us now. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, you scallywags over there.
Unfortunately, we're probably not super-duper-duper-duper surprised with Jake King being around, but Ty Vickery...
Hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically. Oh, yeah, always
now,
hypothetically.
Does this involve a restaurant? Is that the story?
It does. Look, a lot of footballers, as you know, a lot of sports people go into businesses with associates, friends, coke-tuggers, you know, all the rest of it. And not always those businesses thrive. In fact, probably most of them don't, if I recall. And I suspect this might be one of those incidents. There's a restaurant at the centre of this called the Fat Monkey. And it looks as if it was a bit of a one-way drain on the money. And it looks as if perhaps one of the main investors wanted to get his money out. That would be Ty Vickery. And... hypothetically speaking, perhaps when he couldn't get his money out, he might have looked around his list of mates to give him a hand. And sadly, when you go to some mates might know more about football and fighting than they know about financial negotiation. And they also don't know you shouldn't talk on telephones.
Telephones, is that how it all come across, was it?
Well... this is hypothetically speaking, and this is a general observation.
Yep.
Only. I don't have any actual insight into what was said, and we'll find out when it goes to court. But in general terms, probably you shouldn't be communicating by telephones if you are having heated conversations with people about financial affairs and making demands on them and so on, because if they get a little bit jack of it, they might tape you. That's just a little takeaway for you, bud.
Go on.
No, you go, Ditz.
I'm just saying, so Can we assume, I don't know if we're allowed to assume anything here, really, until this goes to court, but Ty Vickery has sought the services of Jake King because he thought he was connected? Like, did he go to him for help?
I wouldn't want to speculate about that. In general terms, it would appear that one party thinks he's owed some money, whether he is or isn't, I don't know, but he thinks he is. And it looks as if the money's not forthcoming, and he's, as the instinct probably is to reach out to your mates and say, well, can you help me with this? And that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Now, these are very general observations by from the outside. That is not inside information, and all the details will be revealed eventually in court.
Andrew, on a side note, how does these tattoo parlours go that say Jake King's involved in? I saw a picture of the shop front yesterday, and it looks neat and really tidy, and it looks a lot better than most tattoo stores do. Are they quite profitable in Victoria? I know a lot of people are getting tattoos, and he's got a big profile, so you can understand it probably does work pretty well.
I think it does. There's a sign on that window that goes to the heart of this. It says tattoos, and it also says tattoo removal. And I'm here to say that probably the greatest growth industry in the Western world over the next decade is going to be tattoo removal.
Exactly.
So I think he's on a win it both ways.
So he's got a one-stop shop there, has he?
He has. He's going to make it coming and going. It's like, you know, training racehorses and owning a glue factory.
So you can book in when you've had a few drinks, and you can book in when you're hungover
sober
the next day.
You say, I don't love Charlene anymore. Can you take her?
I'm not that fond of mum and dad anymore either.
That's right, Hey, Andrew, thanks so much for joining us. Now, you've got a new book out. This is The Rule on Crime. What can we expect in this book?
Rule on Crime, no, it's a best of 10 of the biggest cases I've sort of had something to do with, and a publisher in Melbourne approached me. I said, why not? So we've put out a book called Rule on Crime, and, of course, I've offered to send a couple of copies over to you chaps and to the great Alice, who's your producer.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. All right. That, I'm looking forward to that. 10 of the big ones out of Melbourne, and they're all Victorian crimes?
All sorts, but predominantly Victorian. But no, there's all sorts of things.
Andrew, a bit sad about Vince Colosimo in the news as well for the wrong reasons.
That's true. I've just written a column that you might read next Sunday across the state borders, which is of interest about ICE and celebrity and sportsmen and all sorts of funny things.
So he got picked up on the weekend driving while disqualified and driving under the influence, didn't he?
He did, and I think he's now sadly unable to say this is just a one-off because they picked him up a few months ago. So he's got a problem. His mother's talked to the media about the problem. I don't know Vince at all well. I've met him. We obviously had that slight connection together through Underbelly and through the Chopper film.
Fantastic.
Because I was a bit involved in that, and he actually came to prominence in that film. He's a very good actor.
He is a good actor. He was brilliant in Chopper.
Mm.
And a good bloke. I met him at the Camberwell Market one day. We were both selling stuff at the Camberwell Market. Mm. And I said, this is funny, isn't it? You've been in the Chopper film. And I co-wrote it and published it. And here we are at the market selling stuff. So,
good on you, Andrew. Well done, mate.
Tough life for actors.
And we'll look out for the book. It's Rule on Crime. Andrew Rule, the associate editor at the Herald Sun. He's always got his finger on the pulse, Roo.
Jackson Trengove coming up not too far away. And I've got a big rumour I'm going to drop at 8 o'clock as well.
You beauty. 7:21, Ruined It's for Breakfast on Triple M. Alice the Wag has got something for us here. Alice, what's this all about?
Well, something big's happened.
Mm. Gee, that was dramatic. Right.
Have you guys seen the new ad for Maya with Katy Perry?
I have,
and she's promoting, Maya 1.
I'm a big fan of Katy Perry. I don't know anything she sings or anything, but
what are you a fan of?
She's a gorgeous-looking lady.
Right.
Mm.
Well, she's recorded this ad for Maya, and they've had to pull it.
Pull the ad?
Yes.
Gee, that's big because Maya don't do things by
half. It
would
have cost them a bloody fortune to
have her. How long's it been on TV for? A week or two?
Yeah, I think since July 2nd, so not even a week.
And she getting paid by Maya. Is that the main reason she's here?
Well, I think it's a massive promotion. So Maya are giving away 8,000 tickets to Katy Perry. So it's like a big group promotion thing.
And that'd be a couple hundred bucks a ticket probably. So big spend.
Yeah, costing him a bit. But it's been pulled over a really silly reason. So I'm going to play you the ad now.
Mm.
We're going to play the audio. And then you guys are going to guess what's wrong with the ad. Because I think it's a bit silly.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Turn it up.
Righto.
Let's go.
Good girl nugget. And perfect. Hello, Meyer One members. I'm Katy Perry, and I am so excited to be bringing my witness tour down under. Thanks to Meyer One, you're the first to know that you could win tickets. In fact, Meyer's giving away 8,000 of them. Download the Meyer One app for all the juicy details and terms. Okay, Nugget, it's time to get your puppy passport. Let's go chase some koalas, Nugget.
Righto. Well, we have to work out why.
What did you pick up, Roo?
Probably not allowed to go and chase koalas.
That's the only thing I can think of, that hunting koalas.
That's it.
Oh, is that well, how hard yes. was that?
Sorry, that's a real stud then, isn't it?
But they've pulled right. the ad because
they've
of that.
They've pulled the ad, oh, Roo, all the animal rights take a bit longer.
We've never fill another look, 3 minutes of Alice's segment.
I'm not going to lie, I thought you were going to be distracted because she's lounging there in a midriff top. I thought, oh, there's no way they're going to get this.
But that, I understand your point, though. I mean, it's pretty pathetic to say.
A bit trivial.
You got to pull it as if they're not going to actually go and chase koalas.
No. So who... that was the animal activists or something that had a win?
Everyone cracked it and have complained online, and it's just turned into this big thing. And the Bondi vet, I think, has said stuff. And
oh, come on.
Because Nugget is her dog, obviously. Mm. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Mm. No, it's ridiculous. That's what it is. This is another example of the world gone mad, if you ask me.
Mm.
Well, at least she was getting him a passport, unlike Johnny Depp, who just bought his dogs with no
so that was the other thing I thought. Was it a bit of a veiled swipe at Johnny Depp and...
Oh, maybe.
His missus as well.
Pistol and Boo.
Pistol and Boo. Mm-hmm. And the irony of this story, Roo, is that Alice the Wag's mum and dad have called her Nugget all her life. That's her little nickname at home, isn't it,
Nugget? Yeah, Nuggy.
Nuggy.
And Joel calls me the McNugget.
McNugget.
Anyway,
great segment, Wag.
Because you go to McDonald's all the time.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good segment,
yeah,
guys.
Well done on that. Good stuff.
Roo, really next time, Roo, next time, play the game and just go, oh, gee, I don't know. Think about it a bit longer. Don't just come in with you.
A real challenge, this one.
Hang on, hang on. Would it be, gee.
Hang on.
Four. Can we get back to you, Alice?
Yeah, we'll come back.
I know, I Give thought it was going to be
Let
tough.
Us sleep on it for 24 hours.
We'll come back to you. All right, there. We fleshed that segment out. Righto.
Jackson Trengove coming up shortly.
Triple M. 104.7 Triple M.
7:29, Roo and Ditts on Triple M, being a Thursday morning. What happens, Roo?
We have got plenty of stuff happening, but Gleeso is going to come in and join us and to play another suburban song. But let's have a listen to a couple of these rippers from the past.
Rolling, 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 Range Rovers are rolling, 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 white Jeeps keep on rolling, Burnside. I'm on the double again, you're never gonna kick me out. I'm from Salisbury down, I'm Mr. Red again, you're never gonna kick me out. I'm from Salisbury down. She's on the top again.
Good morning to all our listeners in Salisbury Downs and in Burnside this morning.
Exactly right.
Now, where are we heading to today?
I don't know where we're heading.
It's out to Tea Tree Gully.
Okay, we're heading northeast again.
Yep.
We've got plenty coming up on this show, though. The Angels are coming up. We've got the Wayne Swass is going to come on and talk about mental health. And Ditts, if you're having trouble staying awake after 8 o'clock, like you can sometimes. Mm. You are going to get your chest waxed today, which is going to wake you right up.
This is for a good cause, though. This isn't for
it's for a very
looks.
Good cause.
Yeah, it's not because I'm vain all of a sudden. Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward
to it. It's for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, all right? Yep. I've got a little thing coming up, but I've agreed to get this done. And I don't know what to think about this.
I think we might be doing a little bit more than your chest, too, just quietly.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
You think you're just getting your chest done, but don't be surprised if your forearms are super smooth now because you've got hairy arms there, Ditts.
Righto.
All right, we're going to do that later. Jackson Trengove coming up shortly.
Roo, tell us the story with Whyalla this morning. This is magnificent news for South Australia, isn't it?
Well, it's huge news because Whyalla's been in the doldrums, probably been and had its toughest 12, 18 months of all time. If you listen to some people from that area, and I know a lot of people from Whyalla and Port Augusta and Port Pirie, and they've been doing it very tough up there. They've had no certainty in what's been going on in their future until last night, where GFG Alliance have come forward with a last-minute bid to save the company. So about 2,500 jobs in Whyalla, a town of 22,000 people, but that actually spreads out to a hell of a lot more people, probably about 4,000 jobs directly.
Well, it means your
saved.
Pubs, your shops, all of your retail, everything is affected, petrol stations, because if these people are out of work, they're not spending in those areas,
everything.
Are they?
And I spoke to a bloke yesterday who said that most businesses are down 50 to 60%,
wow,
which is just horrible stuff. There's been so much uncertainty and so many houses on the market, so much mental health issues up there from people just, you know, taking pay cuts or not getting paid or not making any money or, you know, all that sort of stuff. So awesome news for Whyalla and South Australia, because in some ways it's a, you know, it's bigger amount of jobs than what Holden is.
Mm.
And
so this company out of London, they're called GFG Alliance. Now, they are in steel making and things like that in England as well.
Yeah, it's a big company, Scotland. But he's saved over 25 businesses, big companies like this in that area. And that is out of the companies that they were looking at buying Arium, this is the preferred buy because he doesn't do any cutbacks in jobs. There's no job losses. He doesn't just come in and just
slash everything.
Slash everything.
I wonder how he turns it around.
Well, we'll wait and see. You know, I want to know how he's going to make it work. And you know, with the power prices going through the roof and stuff like that, he's huge in renewable energy. So it'll be interesting to see what he's going to do there and how he's going to save it. But it's great news for Whyalla and the Iron Triangle and South Australia in general. So well done to everyone involved who's got that across the line.
It's brilliant news. It really is. And I know you've got a rumour for us just after 8 o'clock, another very positive story too, which I'm looking forward to.
Yep.
Hey, Jackson Trengove's arrived. He's in the studio. We'll talk to Big Jacko next. Port Adelaide taking on the West Coast Eagles this weekend. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Triple M on Ruined Dits.
Picked up by Trengo. That's a pretty intelligent looking snap around the body. Power fans love it. Jackson Trengo with a double fist pump celebration.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Jackson Trengove, good morning.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, good, good. Now, we've got to talk about the game the other night against Richmond. I reckon you did everything right, everything except win the game. And it was all about kicking, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of the stats in our favour, which was probably the most frustrating part. We weren't able to kick straight, probably in that first half. I think by half time we sort of could have had the lead out to a substantial amount. But we weren't able to deliver, and Richmond capitalised in the second half. And for us, we were left pretty disappointed after the game and just looking for answers of why we're not capitalising on those goals.
So is that what has been spoken about, and is that what Ken sort of said to you, that because you've got to say, well, we lost. You can't walk away and say, oh, but we could have won. And I understand that. But if you want to look at positives, though, did Ken say, look, if we did those things right, we've actually beaten Richmond. We would have won by 5-6 goals.
Oh, to be honest, Ken doesn't really need to say that. And Ken, he was pretty brutal with the way he approached the week. It wasn't, I think the boys know that if we had done the things right and what we wanted to do before the game, we would have won that game of footy. But you know, it's about delivering now. We've spoken about conversion for the last probably 4 or 5 weeks, which is one area of the game that we need to fix up. But then also just when Richmond's sort of engine room got going, we need to be able to stop that and get it back on our terms in those little patches. And it is only little patches. I think we've come a long way from the last 2 years, but we've still got a long way to go, which what shows on the weekend.
Why has it taken so long? If we've been talking about your kicking for several weeks now, why has it taken so long to get it right?
We're doing a lot of work out the track, and if you come down to Alberton, you'll see the boys nailing goals left, right and centre. So it's not the amount of work that we're doing. It's just about transferring that from training into a game-like atmosphere where you've got the crowd obviously there.
So it's in the head, is it?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's in the head. We're obviously not delivering game day, but it's definitely not you know, the amount of kicks that we're getting, we're able to do it. So it's about, you know, getting your routine, setting it up, refreshing yourself, and then going out and just delivering, just owning what happens out there, whether the crowd's booing or cheering for
you. How are you replicating the pressure at training? Do you do it when you're exhausted? Do you do it, or do you just go out there and have 20 shots when you're not even blowing, you know, you could not blow a candle out? Or how do you try and replicate game day?
Yeah, that's where, Rue, we've changed a lot in the last couple of weeks. It's probably... a lot of your goal kicking you seem to do when you're fresh, and that just doesn't happen in games. You're always coming off long runs or long leads. So we're starting to do a lot more game simulated type goal kicking.
So do it mid drill.
So just grab a ball. If someone's having one shot, you know you get all your forwards to have a quick shot in that drill. And just get 5 to 10 kicks throughout the training session. Obviously, you're going to have the ones on your light days where you're not going to be able to run too much before, but we are trying to simulate a little bit more of that, and it's only a matter of time before it does come out in a game, but I hope it's soon.
Can I ask you two a question, because you've been out there? So people like me that sit in the crowd, we presume that, oh, you're footballers, you know what to do, you'll just kick this goal. So Jacko, or you, Rue, when you're in front of 50,000 people, I just presume that, oh, but you do that every week, so you're used to it. But do you get used to it? Like if you had to kick a goal, Jacko, from 35 out, I think, bloody hell, there's only a minute to go here. I really need to nail this. Is it a real panic situation? Like, how calm are you?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's just so much riding on each game now that, you know, and it gets bought up so much if you do miss the goal. So I think there is a lot more pressure. But as you said, it is your job. It's the forwards, and we spoke about that this week. The forwards' job is to nail goals. That's why you're there. You're there to do that. You're paid to do that. Backs are there to spoil and stop the goals. So you have to get it right. It's like any job. If you don't get it right, there's going to be consequences, and that's the same for us as footballers.
But when you play 300 games,
everyone's different.
You still get nervous.
You can have 300 gamers that panic every time they've got to kick a goal, and you can have a bloke who's played 5 games that has the ability to block it out. It's no different to your casual golfer out there who, you know, can pull off the money shot when he has to, or there's one that'll, you know, miss the 3-foot putt because he
just...
So it's
an individual thing.
It's a mindset. Some people have got the ability to block it out. Some people are mentally strong. Other people haven't got any strength at all in that department. So that's what Jackson says. Most people can kick a goal at training from anywhere, anytime, and do it right because they've got pretty good techniques. It all, you know, but then on game day they don't measure their run up, or they do their run up differently because they're under pressure. Pressure makes you do different things, and some people can handle it and some people can't. That's why they can perform on grand final day and others can't.
Fatigue as well. I think that plays a fair role. I think training, you're not getting as much fatigue as what you are in a game with bodies smashing into you and doing that. So that's just what you got to try and simulate as much as you can throughout the week.
All right, more with Jackson Trengove in just a moment.
I want to ask you, what's going on with Travis Boak next? I think a lot of people are confused about his role at the footy club at the moment, and I want to ask you why he's not in the midfield.
Good question. All right, more with Jacko in just a moment for Comwire IT.
Triple M on Ruined Dits.
Picked up by Trengo. That's a pretty intelligent-looking snap around the body. Power fans love it. Jackson Trengo with a double fist pump celebration.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Jackson Trengove, now you've played just about everywhere, Jacko, and last week you were a tagger.
Yeah, did a bit of a different role last week. We knew how damaging Rance was in the air with his intercept marks, and Kenny sort of come to me throughout the week and said, you're going to be doing this, which, it was interesting. I probably thought for 80% of the game it worked really well. I was able to, you know, really get into Rance's head, but him being a quality player and probably one of the best defenders in the comp, was able to work his way through it and get his hands on the ball and probably the time that it counted, which is what I was probably most disappointed with. I couldn't do it for the full game, but... yeah, it was an interesting tactic, and it was working for the most of the game.
Starting to come into clubs, just about every club's tagging now in the midfield, and a lot of clubs are starting to play defensive forwards, like what you did on the weekend on, you know, blokes like Johannesson from the Western Bulldogs or Brody Smith at the Crows, blokes who have a big influence on the game from the back half. So how hard is it to do that role? Because you sort of sacrificed your game to in the first half to try and nullify him.
Yeah, it was one thing I sort of knew mentally going in that it wasn't going to be a fun day for me. It was just really, just trying to stop Rance doing what he does with his marking. And as you just mentioned then, so much game set up from the back half with teams nowadays, and you've seen with the Doggies, they're probably finding it hard to get that run off the half back now that teams are tagging from there. So yep. it was something that we hadn't really done as a team. It was
good move. I thought it was a great coaching move by Hinkley.
Yeah, and I probably thought if we had got it done for the whole time, it would have made a big difference. But yeah, credit to Rance. He really fought through it and did really good.
Wingard's doing some great things in the midfield. No doubt about that. He's added something to his game. But it's come at the expense of Travis Boak, I feel. And I understand Powell Pepper's playing good footy and Ollie Wines is playing great footy in the midfield. But Travis Boak's gone and played on a wing or half forward and having minimal impact on the game. He's gone from being an all-Australian midfielder to a player that's contributing and playing a role, but not to the level he has before. I'll be interested to see if Ken Hinkley persists with it, given the fact that Port aren't kicking straight at the moment and not kicking enough goals. Surely Wingard, who's cool as ice under pressure, surely he can go back to the forward line, kick his goals, get his 15, 20 touches. I mean, he always gets 20 touches and two goals. That's his standard back when he plays in the forward line. And put Travis Boak back into the middle where he can do a very, very similar role to what Wingard's doing. He's got speed. He's tough and he can break the lines. I think you get more out of Boak and you'd get just as much out of Wingard.
Yeah, it's definitely a point, Roo. It's going to be brought up, I think, with Ken and the match committee staff. Getting Wingard up forward, as you mentioned, just to be as damaging what he is when he has 38 touches. I think Kenny's obviously put him into the midfield because he can win his footy in there, and he's so good with his skills just to get that bit of polish. I think he's probably one of our best ball users in there. So that's the reasoning behind putting Chad in there. And Trav has played a role for the team, which has been unreal. It's probably not seen from outside the footy club.
What's the unreal part of the role that we're not seeing?
It's a role that, you don't get as many touches as what you probably would like. It's a sacrificial role. He has to do a lot of running up and down the ground. So he's not only as that half forward nowadays, it's not just sitting up forward and trying to kick goals. It's a lot of work down in the back half of the ground. So Trav's numbers running-wise, covering the ground, would be through the roof. The amount of work he's doing, getting back into our back 50 to filling that mid space where a lot of teams go through nowadays.
Yep.
And then getting forward, obviously it's a very difficult role, and Trav's got the engine to be able to do that. So that's the reason behind having Trav up there. And from a team point of view, we're really pleased with the way Trav's going.
So Chad, 39 touches in the midfield last week. That not up to scratch. You've got to get him out of there, don't you, Roo?
Yeah, I would.
39 touches.
Has he had that every week?
Well, last week he did.
What would you do?
I can only go back to his last game.
Are you happy with Travis Boak, are you?
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Oh, I am.
No, you're not.
He's playing, and Jacko's just explained his new role. Now I know exactly.
Mate, just put your Port Adelaide head on now. Tell us the truth.
I have told you the truth.
No, yeah.
Wingard, 39 touches, and Trav doing a captain's role, running hard back and forward, as Jackson just explained.
Okay, I'm happy all to be the only one here. Then
all is hunky-dory.
No, if Wingard in the midfield has had some cracking games, but I reckon that's why you're playing Robbie Gray up for, because he's a star and no one can replicate it. I don't think you can replicate Chad Wingard in your forward 50.
I think there's definitely going to be some changes. Obviously, we haven't kicked enough goals going forward, so Chad's probably one that they definitely look at. Robbie Gray over the last couple of years has played more game time through the midfield and isn't this year, but he's not getting spoken about. No. So it's one of those things that happens.
He's contributing and he's dominating games from the forward 50. That's why they're not talking about it.
He is dominating games. He's an absolute superstar. You can put him in the back pocket and I think he'd still dominate.
Hey, now we're talking about goal kicking right now. We need your advice here. So on the night of the showdown, which is coming up in August, we've got $40,000 to give away to someone to kick a goal. What would you do? Now, this is if you're 40 metres out straight in front, you're kicking for 40 grand, but you can actually go closer and kick for 30 grand from 30 metres or 20 grand from 20 metres. What would you do, Jacob?
I thought we had to get into a bin, so it's a totally different game now.
Just you've through really, the goals.
Kick through the goals. The way we're going as a team, we'd probably go about 10 metres.
You kick from the top of the goals.
we're not nailing enough, but it just depends how much money you got in your own pocket, I reckon. If you want 10 grand, I think it's, and 10 grand can make a big difference in your life, which it would most people.
Just about paying my wife's credit card. Yep.
Just for you,
Dad. Won't reload it.
With your house, you would go straight from the 40 and go. It doesn't matter if you miss, but I reckon. You know, 30 metres out, I reckon that's it. You're going to get 30 grand, and I think that's achievable. It obviously depends on your ability, but I hope it goes off for 40 grand.
Yeah, it'd be nice, yeah. Jacko, good luck against West Coast this weekend. They've got a few out. They got their dramas.
Is Kennedy going to be back, do you think?
I think he will. I think he's put his magnet on the board throughout the week. He's obviously got to get through training this week. But
kick him in the calf.
You can have another tagging role.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now we'll see what happens. Hopefully not another tagging role. But no, it's definitely an important game for us as a footy club, and hopefully do get that accuracy back, and we can stop talking about conversion.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
Good on you, Jacko. Thanks, boys. Jackson Tringo joins us thanks to Comwire IT.
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Ru, all morning you've been telling us that you've got a rumour, a positive rumour about South Australia. I hope this is good.
Well, it's good. It's good. It's not going to change everyone's lives, Dits, but
don't backpedal now.
No, I'm not backpedaling. I'm just telling you the truth. How much negativity have we had in Adelaide lately?
And it goes on.
Going on about power prices and bank levies and bloody job losses at Coca-Cola and shutting down Holdens and... Finally, some good news yesterday with Whyalla, where they're saving 2,500 direct jobs and up to 4,000 jobs all over. Well, when I was sniffing around, I rang a few people in Whyalla yesterday and had a chat to them because I wanted to see what it was like up on the ground up there, because I know there's been a lot of doom and gloom. And there are some good things starting to happen out there. And one thing I found yesterday is that Roxby Downs, who is probably one of our biggest employers in the state, BHP up there, it's huge. They are about to put on about another 700 jobs up there. 700 jobs.
Now, what's this a result of?
Well, obviously some sort of expansion, or obviously they're positive about the prices of their commodities up there. I'm not sure exactly when. I know it's in the next year, next 6 months, but another 700 jobs coming on. Now, those jobs most of them will come from South Australia, obviously, from Adelaide and probably, Port Augusta, Whyalla, Lincoln, or anywhere really that you're prepared to go to and work week on, week off, or whatever roster they've got over there. But they earn bloody big money there, even for a kid, Dits, who's got no... experience can go up there and earn, sort of $60,000-$80,000. And if you've got more qualifications, you can earn a lot more. So an extra 700 jobs is massive for South Australia at the moment.
Yep.
I know they've already put on a couple of hundred, Dits, so it's probably up to 1,000 jobs that they'll put on over a couple of year period. So I just thought that's for some fantastic news out there. And if people are in that line of work, keep an eye out for when they're recruiting.
All right. Well done, Ru. Very, very positive story. That's great.
Yeah, it is
coming up next, we've got Ruined Dits as Angels right here on Triple M, thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
50% off Sinzi Silver Rings. Karen's of Hyde Park. 183 King William Road.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Oh, Kath's back from overseas. She bought an island somewhere, only a small island, not a big one. We've got Batesy back by popular demand. Hello, Batesy.
Hello.
And Alice the Wag.
Good morning.
Righto, first up. Now, this is an important one. I've had a letter from Jill from Seacliff.
You're a sicko, Dits.
Jill, no, we're getting letters coming in thick and fast every week.
You must have
a
very big mailbox.
My mailbag out there. Jill owns her own business.
I saw the postie riding down the main street of Arndorf and he was leaning to the left.
It's a truck now.
And then he dropped off at your job.
Now, can I get back onto this route? Jill owns her own physio practice, right? And basically is sick and tired of the fact that she employs a lot of females. And when one of them rings at night and says, oh, I can't come in tomorrow, my little boy's sick or my little girl's sick and has to have the day off school. Mm-hmm. Her question is, she's now started to say to them, and she thinks she's within her rights to say, so what about your husband? What does he do for a job? Oh, no, he can't have a day off. No, his job's really important. And then, of course, she says, well, what? So your job as a physio is not that important? Has she got a point? I think she has. All of a sudden, she's saying, well, why is it always the mum, the female, that has to have the day off and stay home? Catherine.
Everything is about men. And I think that we're taught that from an early age. Don't
you've
you
only
think?
Just worked that out.
No,
have you?
I know, I know. But everything is about men, that it's about their job, their earnings. You know, I was working as well. And if my children were sick, even now, it's you. You do the dentist appointment or orthodontist or whatever. You do all the running around.
But is it got to do with the fact, though, that the kids want mum?
No, the kids really want dad.
Not when they're sick, they don't.
No, not when they're sick, but all the appointments, like, it's just everything. Like, anything to do with sport, like, you team to organise it, the birthday party, the birthday party present. It's just, women are just, you know, we have to do everything. Seriously, I think it's a man's world. It needs to change. We should change it.
You're getting a bit off track.
Don't get off track.
Yeah, girl.
Come on, Batesy.
I completely agree with Kath. I think the reason they want mum is because they've grown up with mum doing it all, and that's why they want mum. And the other thing I don't like is when a woman looks
don't
after her kids.
Don't talk common sense, all right? Yeah. Seriously.
When a woman looks after her kids, she's looking after her kids, but when a man does it, it's babysitting.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
You don't babysit your own kids, I've been told.
Yeah.
Which is
but
true.
In the workplace, though, I mean, does it happen here? I mean,
yeah, but
or
the husband says, I can cover for that hour. And it's like, then you end up saying, oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know?
I was able to
and
shower.
So you feel guilty because you have to say, like, the mum, the parent feels guilty because she has to say to the boss, whatever company she's working for, I'm so sorry my child's sick. So you feel guilty there. Mm. And then you're saying thank you to your husband for helping you out for an hour.
Mm.
Like, it's tough for women, I think.
Yes. Alice the Wag?
I agree. Men just take everything.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about days off.
I know, I get that. But I do think that when kids are sick, they do want their mum. Like if I was ever really sick, there's just no way dad could look after me the same way mum does.
Well, you can make your steak sandwich.
Nah, but when you want to fake sick, then you want your dad home because that's when you have fun.
Right.
So it's a real juxtaposition, I think.
So therefore, we've established, though, to Jill of Seacliff, that it has to be the lady that takes the day off, not the man.
No, I don't think it should at all.
You've just said you want your mum. Unless they're faking dits.
Yeah.
And then they want dad.
No, I think it should be shared. I think everyone should take shifts unless, you know, obviously sometimes the mum's still on maternity leave or like my mum had a job where she was paying herself so she could take it off easier than my dad. So that's why she did it.
Right. Mm.
But I think normally if it's two normal jobs, then it should be shared.
But there's a lot of, there's a lot of this thing that the man's job is more important. He says, oh, you know, I can't.
Mm.
But he still goes to lunch that day.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
don't bring up your own little
No.
This isn't a bitch session.
This is bloody
trying to get
some
lunch. Jill, we're with you. There you go, Jill.
When you go to lunch, it's not about eating, it's networking, isn't
correct.
It?
They
don't understand how pressurized
in these segments in future, I'm just going to talk to you.
Yep.
All right? No, the agents can come in, but if they're going to whinge and bitch, I'm just talking to you.
Not coming on. Hey, tell us about some spiritual healing that's happening as well. You got another letter, didn't you?
This happened on
Triple
M this morning.
Is that from Nancy from Woodcroft?
No, that letter's next week, Nancy. This morning on Triple M News overnight, I heard there's a fellow called Boyd Cordner. Fair name. He's the captain of the New South Wales State of Origin team. We're talking rugby league. We're talking blokes as tough as Roo here. Mm. And Boyd is injured. And instead of going to the doctor or a specialist, he's going to a spiritual healer. What absolute ball dust this is.
What does that mean?
What now, you ladies are into this stuff, whether I don't know if it's homeopathy or bloody aromatherapy or something like
homeopathy.
This. What have you been to?
Light up a couple of candles.
How does this, belt you on the back with some fish or something?
Well, I haven't been to really a spiritual healer. I've done, what's it called when they put the needles? Shivers, I've just
acupuncture.
Forgotten. Acupuncture. And I ended up getting shingles from that, but that was later.
You got shingles
shingles.
How can that
happen? He put the needle in, I think, a gland, and I was going there to see.
In your head?
No, under your ear, like that little bit. And I was going there because a girlfriend said to me, I said, I'm not sure how to balance work and children. And she said, go and see this guy.
Stick needles,
he'll help you. So, yeah, that was.
That'll do it.
But my really bad one, that one wasn't too bad because it was only $80. But I did one that was, it's called Rolfing. I don't know if you've heard of it.
And Ralphing? Of Ralphing.
Ralphing. Is it Ralphing or Rolfing?
Rolfing.
No. So, and you had to pay. A girlfriend put me onto it. It was $1,000 up front.
What?
So I paid the up front. front.
This is called a scam.
And she's, well, apparently it was huge in America. And she said, this is amazing and blah, blah, blah. And it pushed into your muscles and made you, you know, sit. They showed photos of like bus drivers that were normally slouched over. It made you sit upright. And anyway, I thought it was quite good. And it was 1 hour each session until he like started doing like in your mouth and like your groin area and whatever. Yeah, it was quite full on.
Rolfing.
Anyway, I didn't finish. I probably used
come and
up
see
Rolf.
Come and sit on.
So in your
anyway,
mouth.
That was a really bad. I'm embarrassed about what I did that I spent
$1,000.
$1,000.
Jeez, I saw you coming. Righto, Batesy, what have you done?
I haven't done anything like that. I'm a total normal medicine kind of girl, but I do go to see like tarot card readers and do all of that spiritual stuff.
Oh my God.
Get my fortune read. So
You can find out what's happening, dude.
Yeah.
It's legit. It really
is. You've got to meet a man.
Don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
You're about to come into some money.
Yeah.
Yep. No.
Okay. So the ring I wear is my grandmother's, and without any kind of background, she said, "Oh, you're wearing a piece of your grandmother on you right now."
Every girl
come
does.
On.
How general is that?
That is not that general.
Oh please. All right, over the way.
I've just done a bit of research on Rolfing.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for it?
Yeah.
This is the music you play when you go in here to get your.
Yeah.
I love myself. Righto.
And you feel a whole lot better.
And you just relax and you feel comfortable.
Right,
the wag.
Oh, I don't know how to beat that.
You don't have to beat that.
Well, I had this debate with Joel the other day because I said I really want to go try cupping, which is where they put cups on your back full of like hot water and.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, that's what Joel said, and I said because Angelina Jolie does it, so I think.
And you come out looking like that.
Yeah, but you get big bruises on your back.
Have you got an injury?
No.
Well, what the hell do you want to do it for?
I think it just improves everything, like your blood flow and circulation and stuff.
You think.
Yeah.
But
it's
you don't
good
know.
For circulation.
Yeah,
what do you got a circulation problem?
No, it just might give you more energy or make you feel positive throughout the day.
It makes you stand straighter.
Are you serious or not? Tell me the truth.
No, seriously.
So you've got no issue, but you want to go and get some cupping done.
Yeah, I'd do it too.
Well, you shouldn't just go preventative measures.
Sack them all.
Oh,
get rid of them all. You are losing the plot.
And then at the end they go, when's payday? I've got no money.
That is so
I feel
true.
Fantastic.
But I've got cupping though.
I've got cupping done.
Yeah, and I paid $1,000 for my rolfing.
Someone rolfed my mouth.
And I feel so much better.
Can we have a bit more rolfing to send us out, please?
But I've got no money until payday.
Oh, Ralph. This is really disturbing. She rolfed her groin.
My eyes. Righto. Thanks, Angel.
See you, Rob.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Ru, a spate of mental health issues, I think it's fair to say, in the world of AFL. Now, it's everywhere, so it's not unique to AFL, but we know that young AFL footballers are under immense pressure. Some will argue, but they get very well paid. However, it doesn't stop...
That doesn't stop depression.
No.
It doesn't and stop
anxiety.
Mental health
That's
issues.
Right. And as we know, Wayne Schwoss, former AFL player, Triple M commentator, has been a wonderful advocate for mental health, and he speaks a lot about the issues.
Been through it himself, or battles it himself.
So in recent weeks, Alex Vassolo, the Collingwood player, we've had Travis Cloak, Western Bulldogs, and now another one.
Yeah, Tom Boyd, who was the former number one draft pick, so a lot of pressure comes with that. He went to GWS for a couple of years, and then Western Bulldogs made a six-year, $6 million offer, probably the biggest at it in its time for a player that had only played 9 games, and I think had kicked 10 goals or something. Hasn't set the world on fire since he's been at the Bulldogs. Played a cracking game in last year's grand final, and some people say paid his own way after that. But only this week, and they play the Crows this week, he's come out and he's taking some leave to deal with mental illness. So it is, I know for a fact, and it's been spoken about, there is a lot of it out there in the world of AFL. We use that and we speak about it, and it gets talked about a lot because of AFL's in the news so much. But we do know it's everywhere as well.
All right, let's talk to Wayne Schwoss. Good morning, Schwatter.
Hello, boys. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think about players coming out and admitting they're dealing
going public on it
at the moment? Is it a reflection that they're comfortable to be able to speak out and in society and not get any backlash for it?
Well, I reckon there's a couple of things, Roo, and I'm only saying this based on, you know, having worked in this industry for a long time, but having some connection to AFL footy, I think we're at a stage now where players are starting to understand, and there's a significant shift from my point of view with regards to the cultural attitudes towards mental health. I think if you had said to me at the beginning of this year that we'd have three high-profile players within the space of 5 weeks would come out and talk openly about their challenges with mental health, I would have said, geez, I hope we get to that stage, but I didn't believe that we were at that stage. We are now, and I think it's never good. These are really terrible, really challenging illnesses that these boys are dealing with. So I don't want to, come out the wrong way. Whilst these issues are really terrible and challenging to deal with, I think that this is a fantastic place that we're now at within the game of AFL. Players are putting their mental health first. Players are actually putting their hand up and reaching out for help, which I think is really important. It sends a great message to the broader community that you can and you should do those things. And I think the other thing that it does for all three of these boys, it takes an enormous amount of pressure off them once they acknowledge it publicly, once they start to deal with it, because the pressure of performing and playing and the expectation that comes with that is significant on a weekly basis. When you put your hand up and you go public and you take time out to deal with these issues, that eliminates a significant pressure off the shoulders of these young men, which gives them time to get healthy and well again.
What about the people out there that are the doubters with mental health issue or depression? What about people out there that say, well, you know, they come out and say Alex Fazzolo, for instance, comes out and says he's battling depression, and then he's at training within 3 or 4 days and continuing to play. What would you say to people out there that talk about those scenarios in a negative way?
Well, I think some of that would be the fact that people aren't perhaps as educated as well as they could be, Roo. To use a personal example, I was diagnosed, and a day later after being diagnosed in 1993, I was training. I never missed a training session, nor did I miss a game. Just because you get diagnosed and you might admit publicly that you're living with these conditions doesn't mean that life stops. A really important part of someone's strategy getting back to health is actually maintaining as much routine as they possibly can. So whilst not playing and continuing to train, I think is a really important piece of that recovery strategy. So yep. I would support that. In Alex's case, he was able to come back a week later. I think that, and I haven't spoken to Alex, I've spoken to people close to Alex. I think the fact that once you go public, the story's out. It can't go anywhere. And I think that takes a significant amount of pressure off the shoulders of these young boys. The other thing that I would like to say is these players get paid a lot of money, and we need to put that to the side, because all money gives us is the more we've got, the more choices we've got. The less we've got, the less choices we have. Money doesn't mean that these boys are naturally happy. It buys you material possessions. But this is a really competitive, challenging, uncompromising industry, and at the end of the day, we're asking 22-year-old boys to behave like they're 35-year-old men. It's unrealistic.
Is what role has social media got in this? I'm starting to get a bit anti social media and the effect it's having on it. And this is not just an AFL chat. We're having a chat because these guys are getting highlighted, but it's more, I want you on to talk about the society and what's happening. Social media, and you can't tell everyone to get off, I know that, but you can't tell me that this is not one of the biggest reasons why mental health is a huge issue in society, Swatter.
I agree with you, Rude. I think that this is a significant contributing factor that may cause young men and women in elite sporting environments stress. I can't absolutely categorically say 100% that's the case.
If it's not that, what is it in society? Why is there such a huge issue in society? Apart from social media, what is it that's causing it?
That's such a tough question to answer, Rue, because it could be anything. It could be the product of somebody's environment. A relationship may have failed, financial issues. Yep.
But that's been happening forever, hasn't it? That sort of stuff.
I think it's an issue that I think the industry and the community are trying to grapple with. Rue, you've got kids, and so do I. I've got twin girls; they're turning 14 shortly. Their primary relationships at the end of a screen, at the end of their hand.
Yeah.
So
that's my point.
To these young men, don't be on social media. I think that's unrealistic. What I'd like to see us do as an industry, and perhaps as a broader community, but certainly within the AFL. We need to invest considerable time and effort and money into educating the players about how to manage it, how to disconnect from it, so to speak, If I'm not playing well, the last place I'd be going
exactly
is the marketplace of social media looking for some positive reaffirmation.
Good point.
I wouldn't go to look on social media after any game I commentate, even if I'd thought I'd done a good job, because you just get slammed.
A great job, really.
No, I'm just—it's honest though. I don't know how kids can handle it, and I just don't see the good it does for them. So I'm a bit worried about it, to be honest.
Yeah, good on you, Schwatter. Thanks for joining us,
mate.
Boys. Well done.
Good stuff.
And he always speaks so well about this topic. We had an 18-year-old girl on yesterday talking about bullying at school, and we hear about it every single day. Get off social media. That is the answer here.
No, I don't know. I think
give it away.
I think it's got to be half the answer. Yeah. I know there's a lot of other things happening in society as well. Hey, let's go to a positive one. Gleeso is going to join us very, very shortly with another suburban song.
Yeah, and then it's got up there on the in big letters, Dits Wax.
Yep, you're about to go through a lot of pain.
Right, oh, terrific. Can't
I'm looking
wait.
Forward to that.
Can't wait.
Rocking the suburbs.
Triple M suburban songs.
Why do you keep on rolling Burnside?
With Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets. Suburban taxis. Rocking whatever suburb you need to get to. 131-008.
Oh, it's being a Thursday morning, time for another one. Gleeso, how are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you, boys.
There's eight ball going this year, Gleeso.
Yeah, not really good.
What's happening? You're not practising enough? Is Katie stopping you from going to the pub?
Monday night practice is out. So
Come on, Katie.
I'm away Friday, Saturday. I get home, sleep all day Sunday, and then Monday I wake up thinking I'm down to practice, but no, it's been cut off. Because what we'll generally do, we'll get down there, practice till about 11, order a pizza,
drive home
to bed. driving home, Roo. I'm me pushy. Pushy for sure.
You can get DUI on your pushy.
What about walking it? Because sometimes I can't even ride it.
You can go drunk walking, I think.
Walking his bike. If you got done for that, you are stiff as.
Yeah, that's way stiff.
Hey, we're stiff last week.
Mate, I was walking
stiff
the bike.
Last week. Maslin's Beach last week. Who have we got this week?
Oh, this week we're going to go to Tea Tree Plaza.
Oh, of course. All right. All thanks to Suburban Taxis, from good times to home times. Now, what can you tell us about the good old Tea Tree Gully?
Well, see, obviously Tea Tree Plaza is out there. That's what I know for it.
Yes.
I take the kids out to the movies
there. Goes out there.
Love it. The O-Barn. Never been on the O-Barn. I kind of find that a strange thing, a track for a bus.
Yeah. Our drivers aren't very good here in Adelaide.
Right, so they
put them on a track.
Lock them in.
O-Barn's in other states or what?
No.
So what, we have buses on...
Buses
tracks.
On tracks.
Only in South Australia.
Oh, yeah. Right. Innovative.
Absolutely.
Hey, we're one step ahead.
Yeah, why not put a train on it?
I
think this might be a question for a higher chair.
Now, what tune are we singing Tea Tree Gully to?
TNT.
Let's roll it. Come on.
Oi, 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 oi. See me right out of the O-Barn. I'm off to Tea Tree Plaza. I'm gonna hang at Westfield and Hoyts. Nothing rhymes with plaza.
Austin Powers, Sparsha.
My friends to the left of me, and the hills are to the right. A tons of fun. I'll stay all night. Don't you start no fight. 'Cause I'm TTP, just park and ride. TTP.
TTP Plaza's alright.
TTP. Just near Golden Grove. TTP. Follow Northeast Road.
Oi, 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 oi.
I'm dirty, mean, and mighty unclean. I'm every hospital man. Northeast is better than just north. Understand? So rock up the maggots and give me some fries. Smokies and Terry's will do nothing all night. The gully's getting down. Come on and buy me around. 'Cause I'm come and stay the night.
T-T-T.
T-T Gully's all right.
T-T-T.
Just near Golden Grove.
T-T-T.
Follow Northeast Road.
Jesus.
How's your voice after that? Bloody hell.
Actually, give me a sore throat listening back to that.
I'll tell you what, the other day from Golden Grove.
Avery, we should say as well, the Tea Tree Gully footy side going very, very nicely. So good shout out to them. I reckon they're equal top with Rocks, aren't they?
Are they? Well,
I think so. They're going well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look out.
Gleeso, well done. We'll do it again.
No worries. Gargle something for that voice. Have some honey and lemon.
Yeah. From good times to home times, Suburban Taxis 131008. Gleeso back next Thursday morning.
See you, Gleeso.
8:57. I'm going to go, Roo. I'll be seeing you tomorrow.
What was that song called?
I won't back down.
Yes, well done. That was very timely song.
Look, I was all right 5 minutes ago, but I've had 10 people say, don't do this, don't do this. It's going to hurt.
Dits, you've encountered many things in the world of squash, and you've travelled the world and come up against some really tough opponents. But you're the patron of Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they've got a great new challenge out there at the moment, a ripping is a good word, a ripping new fundraiser for June. Yeah. They are challenging men out there to do some waxing and to raise some money. And you can do this by going for waxforawish.org.au. Right. That is waxforawish.org.au. And because you're a patron, you are going to set the example for South Australian men out there about how they can go about it. Right-o. We've got Christy here from Emporium.
Please come in, Christy.
Beauty at Glenelg. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Dits hasn't had anything waxed before. So we thought we'd just start off with a spot which is not too bad. A good little introduction, and he's going to do his chest today because we're going to Darwin on holidays next week.
Why are you laughing, Christy?
Oh, it's just entertaining. And you've got quite the audience out here waiting to watch as well.
Tell me about the chest. As you know, the pain barrier goes. What scale, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate the chest?
I would choose other areas to do over the chest.
Thanks, righto. Mm. All right.
It's not going
to
be
too late to change.
Yes, it is. I've already said it's on the whiteboard.
It's good. The bit around your nipples will be nice, Dits. Oh, I think that should be.
You.
So, and think about what we're going to look like when we're in Darwin. You're going to be all nice and smooth around the pool. You're going
to
be walking around.
And then you can come in next week before you go to Darwin and have a spray tan.
No. Christy, why do you do a job? Now, tell me about what is it,
Emporium Beauty
down at Glenelg?
Yes.
Why? When you grew up, you thought, I just want to rip people's hair out. Is that what you thought as a job?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
There's a couple of screws loose, I think. The men that I enjoy it so much.
God.
How about we stop delaying the inevitable? Get your shirt off, Dits. Let's have a look at your chest, which we're going to wax.
Sorry.
And you have been training hard lately. He's in good nick.
Sorry.
And he has got a few hairs. It's not the hairiest chest going around, but it's got enough fluff there that is going to cause a little bit of pain. The old Bill Shorten man boobs are going to be getting stretched out a little bit here.
Righto. So I'm laying back down on the ground.
Yeah, we've got the hot wax about to be put on.
What's that you're rubbing on me now?
This is just
breast massage at the moment, Ditsy, just laying back.
Fair set of boobs, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
I'm bigger than mine.
Right, what are we putting on now?
Now we're going with the powder.
Powder. What does that do?
The powder's going to stop the wax from sticking to your skin.
Oh, terrific.
And take some of the oils out of you.
You're not going to rip skin off. I just want hair off.
No, there'll be no skin.
Christy, we did it to a mate on a houseboat on New Year's Day once just to keep us amused, and surprise how much blood actually comes out.
Oh, don't say that.
No, it does, Dits.
Knock it off.
Well, it's true. Blokes, if you can get the back or the chest done, it can cause a little bit of bleeding. So
I am actually now shaking. I don't mind telling you. What are you doing now?
Okay, now I'm going to put the wax on.
Righto.
And it's very hot, isn't it?
No,
bloody hell. That is
nice and therapeutic.
Now, what sort of wax is it? Is this like what would come out of a candle or something? Or
no.
What is it?
It's a special wax that's designed to pull your hair off. And are you ready?
Yep. come on.
You are going to look gorgeous. Now,
got a lot of hair there.
Righto, now we're getting there.
Get on his neck.
Oh, gee whiz.
Get right around his nipples
now.
Have
you finished
yet? Thanks. You've only just started, Dits. You're on one little part of your pectoral muscle there that's just getting done. Get right around his nipples.
Oh,
thank you.
Shut up.
I want maximum pain for Dits here, please. Look at that hot bit of wax around. That looks a wreck, that nipple, Dits.
Oh!
He's getting turned on. He's getting excited. The nipples are a little bit pointy. She's loving it.
Oh, mate. Christy. So
back a little bit more on there, Christy.
So women come in to see you every day to do their bikinis and all those sorts of things. Mm. So you spend your days looking at that. What sort of job's that?
It's different, that's for sure. But they don't carry on like this,
eh? Oh, there was a little bit of tug on the old man boob there.
How much further have we got to go?
Not halfway.
Come on.
Just finish off that breast and we'll give him a reprieve after that.
That's
Christy.
Hot. That's hot.
This is the
right,
thickest.
This bit's not going to be, I can feel it already.
This is almost the rug.
Hang on. Right.
A lot of hair there.
Make him pay.
Oh, you got stuck. Oh. Are you a beginner?
Now, if you want to have a look at this will be on the Triple M Facebook page as well.
No, you're good. Keep going. Keep going.
Should we leave it there? Or just all right. We'll leave him with one boob. We'll come back and finish the rest off. If you want to raise some money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, go for waxforawish.org.au. That is waxforawish.org.au to raise some money for Make-A-Wish. Thanks, Christy, from Emporium
Good on you,
Beauty.
Christy.
You're welcome.
And if any Triple M listeners want to go down there, just mention that you heard it on Triple M and you'll get a 15% discount when you get your boobs done like this. Yeah! Good work, Dits. See you later, everyone. Have a great day. But neither of them wear a bra.